Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
Their felony charges, both are charged with trafficking in more than 10 unit doses.
Two people from Detroit were arrested on trafficking charges in Moorhead yesterday.
The case of a Moorhead man accused of a racially charged vandalism has been bound over to a grand jury.
Rowan is one of several counties under a red flag warning.
A land swap between the city of Lexington and the University of Kentucky has been approved by the state.
The Public Service Commission is considering a rate review request by Kentucky Power.
In sports, the Moorhead men's basketball team is shaping up this season.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Cloudy skies tonight with a low of around 28 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Two people were arrested for trafficking in a controlled substance in Moorhead last night. The Rowan County Sheriff's Department picked up 23-year-old Destiny Scott and 26-year-old Anderson George, both of Detroit, Michigan, on Main Street. Deputy Joe Klein says the arrest was planned after a purchase of drugs was arranged.
Through control means, we purchase the illegal substance and then we make the arrest on the scene or on the spot. So they were arrested on the on Main Street on the parking lot of the U.S. Bank.
Scott and George were arraigned today on trafficking charges. George is being held on $100,000 bond and Scott on $20,000. Both are being housed in the Rowan County Detention Center.
The case of a Moorhead man accused of spray painting a racial slur and a swastika on the homes of two black MSU students has been turned over to a grand jury. 19-year-old Jeffrey Masters appeared in Rowan County District Court today for first-degree criminal mischief charges. Law enforcement officials say Masters also vandalized a boat trailer and burned tires in a neighbor's yard following a house party at McClure Circle in September. Detective Ben Castle testified at the hearing. He says Masters came in for questioning during their investigation.
Unraveled Mr. Masters, I spoke with him after being Mirandized, and after some length of speaking, he advised that he was the one that did the spray painting and agreed to it. He did show some remorse and asked about paying restitution and trying to fix the issues at hand.
Detective Castle estimates the cost of the damages to be over $1,000. If convicted, Masters could also face modified hate crime charges.
A pair of Moorhead residents are facing charges after being arrested Tuesday night in connection with a drug-related incident. City police were called to the Motel 6 near Interstate 64 around 7:15 after receiving complaints about a strange smell coming from a room where several people had been coming in and out. MPD Captain Kyle Callahan says the room was registered to 62-year-old Richard Carpenter, who was taken into custody.
You know, officers charged him with a trafficking controlled substance. I mean, there was marijuana present. And, he was, a lot of traffic in and out. I think it, pretty much shows that he was selling some drugs out there. And with just marijuana being found, that would lead me to believe that that's what he was selling.
Carpenter is facing charges of first-degree trafficking in a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and criminal trespassing. Also arrested was 43-year-old Heather Woody. She's charged with non-alcohol public intoxication, possession of marijuana, and violating her probation.
Rowan and surrounding counties are under a red flag warning this afternoon. Authorities say that winds and low humidity make perfect conditions for forest fires. Division of Forestry Fire Chief Brandon Howard says even homeowners with wood stoves should be vigilant with ash disposal.
Usually when they take the ashes out, they're red hot. They're making room for more wood, and they need to use precaution. They should not take the ashes and throw them on the hillside or throw them somewhere in the dry leaves and walk away, because what happens is, they could sit there and smolder, and before you know it, it's turned into a flame and it's a full-fledged forest fire.
Howard says Kentucky isn't a drought situation like California, but the bluegrass is still very susceptible to forest fires.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work. The Rowan County Road Department reminds you to drive smart this winter, check weather conditions, allow extra time for travel, and avoid traveling in severe weather. Remember to slow down and always wear your seatbelt. The Rowan County Fiscal Court wishes you a safe and enjoyable holiday season with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
The city of Wheelwright in Floyd County is having water issues. Most of the city's water supply comes from an abandoned mine, but EKB News reports residents have been left without for the last few days. Mayor Don Hall says the city is doing what it can to remedy the situation.
We've set up a temporary tank for anybody that needs to come and get water, like for like maybe to flush their commode or basic water needs that they will need. What we're hoping is that people will cut back and you know, use what water, just what you have to use until we can get this problem resolved.
The mayor has given no specific time frame for a solution to the issue.
The state has signed off on a major land swap between Lexington and the University of Kentucky. Josh James has more.
UK is in talks to hand over about 250 acres of land to Lexington in exchange for ownership of a number of roads in and around campus. UK spokesman Jay Blanton.
Anytime the university is involved in a conveyance of land, the state needs to provide some approval there.
The Lexington Herald-Leader reports state officials have given the university the green light, marking one more step toward a deal Blanton calls historic in terms of the partnership and the amount of land involved. The city has been under pressure to find more space for potential employers and recently voted to keep the urban service boundary in place at least through 2020. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
One Kentucky lawmaker says that Frankfort is a mess. State Representative Chris Harris was elected in 2015 and has seen several issues plague the state's capital, such as political partisanship and the recent sexual harassment allegations. Harris says things would run more smoothly if Frankfort people would work together on issues.
Listen, I can tell you that across not just the state of Kentucky, but across this country, people are tired of partisanship. And they want to see people working together without mind for which party you're involved in or you're a member of. They want to see us coming together and working together to get things done and to solve their problems. They're so tired of hearing about partisan politics and partisan bickering and partisan voting.
Harris tells Spectrum News Pure Politics that Frankfort officials also need to know the truth about the ongoing sexual harassment allegations. He says Representative Hoover and others involved with these claims deserve for their side of the story to be heard.
While some have called Governor Bevin's idea of still calling for a special session of the legislature to deal with public pension reform, quote, a waste of taxpayer dollars, unquote, an Eastern Kentucky state senator says he understands the logic behind it. Bourbon County Republican Steve West says lawmakers won't have the time to deal with the complicated issues of pension reform and tax reform, along with crafting the state's next biennial budget during the 2018 regular session.
After being through a budget session, it is real easy for things to get lost in the chaos of a budget session. And I think if the governor did it this way, it would be his way of keeping everything clean and separate, where allowing the legislature to focus on the task at hand, have the pension question out of the way.
Lacking GOP support in the House for his pension reform plan, Governor Bevin has admitted the chances of holding a special session this month appear dim. Because of that, many believe legislators will have to put off plans to work on tax reform during their 2018 session.
The Public Service Commission is considering a proposed Kentucky power rate increase after an evidentiary hearing last week. Part of that hearing included a review of the KP Economic Growth Grant Program, which invests in economic development programs across the region. KP Corporate Communications Manager Allison Barker says the KPEGG program was involved in bringing both Brady Industries and InterBlue to the region.
We funded a study throughout Eastern Kentucky that looked at available properties that could be developed into industrial sites. All of this work that we've done in economic development is due in a large part to the partnership that we have with our customers.
KP requested a base rate review with the PSC, seeking to recover $69.6 million from customers. That request was lowered to $34.7 million last month.
A Republican state representative in Kentucky says a woman's claim that he sexually assaulted her in 2013 has no merit and he won't resign. Dan Johnson made the announcement at his church on Tuesday, a day after the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting published a story quoting a woman as saying Johnson had sexually assaulted her in his basement on January 1st of 2013. The woman was a member of the church where he is the pastor. She reported the alleged incident to police, but they closed the case without filing charges. Speaking to reporters at his church, Johnson said he also has plans to run for re-election in 2019. Republican and Democratic leaders in the Kentucky House have both asked him to resign.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent thinks a situation involving a local business that some neighbors say is violating Kentucky air quality standards should be looked at more closely. Afterburners LLC has a contract with the nearby SRG Global plant to burn excess paint off its metal racks. That process sometimes causes a thick, foul-smelling smoke to come from the company's smokestack. While the State Energy and Environmental Cabinet says they found no wrongdoing at Afterburners, many are still concerned about the issue. According to Trent, the city could join Rowan County in asking the cabinet to investigate the matter further.
Yes, I mean, I would believe we would want to go in as well and partner with them and show or at least give our support, because that affects everybody. I mean, yeah, it's technically in the county, but with it being so close to our city limits, and again, with the wind shifting, you don't know what where it's going to go, how it's going to affect. So, and those kids who go to school out there, you know, some of them live in the city as well. So we're talking about city residents.
Trent says anytime there's an issue that could impact the health of those in Moorhead and Rowan County, especially since three local schools are just across the road from Afterburners, the situation deserves further scrutiny.
Mason County plans to reduce voting precincts. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Board of Elections in Mason County made the choice to downscale the number of voting precincts on Tuesday. The previous amount of 16 will be reduced to 13 for upcoming elections in 2018. The choice was made after the board reviewed precinct populations and concluded that smaller precincts could be merged. County Clerk Stephanie Schumacher tells the Maysville Ledger that this will mitigate costs to the county. However, Schumacher says that these savings will only soften the next financial blow. The county expects to be purchasing new voting machines after the 2020 presidential election, which is expected to cost each precinct about $14,000. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The Expo Center in Pikeville is offering meals each Wednesday through the end of December. The kitchen will be open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to serve soup to those in the community. Executive Chef Sean Meza tells WYMT the food is free.
It's whatever you would like to donate, by all means, but it's not a necessity.
Meza believes the program will make a difference for those in need in the area. He hopes the program will continue into the new year.
And taking a look at the weather forecast in the WMKY listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Boyd. A slight chance of rain and snow showers tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, low around 26 degrees. Chance of precipitation is at 10%. Coming up tomorrow, expect mostly cloudy skies, high near 34 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, low of around 22. Coming up on Friday, mostly cloudy skies, high should be near 36 degrees, low of around 27 degrees that night. And on Saturday, expect mostly sunny skies, high near 45. And on Sunday night, a 30% chance of snow showers, mainly after 5 a.m. Mostly clear skies, low around 30 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 37 degrees, 41 degrees in Winchester, 39 degrees in Inez, 41 degrees in Lexington, 38 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's 39 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On our feature segment this afternoon, nearly 6 years after a tornado left West Liberty in shambles, the city is making a comeback. WMKY's Arlo Barnett has the story.
I think the credit goes to the people of Morgan County, and, you know, I've always used the word resilient. You know, we pulled together. You know, when you look at the day of the tornado, and just a week later, actually we had somewhere around 35 different emergency crews here helping us that night. And then how we supported them, I'm talking about the community supported one business at a time and seeing them come back.
Mayor Mark Walters says although West Liberty still has some empty spaces along Main Street where buildings once stood, infrastructure upgrades and beautification projects are taking shape. That includes a new center turn lane, which continues about a quarter mile on Main Street and 460 East, which brought with it new sidewalks and streetlights. Walters says some landmark churches have also been rebuilt.
Methodist Church has been rebuilt. The Christian Church is rebuilt up 460. We have a transit center that is behind the Commercial Bank, and of course, Commercial Bank takes up a majority of the left-hand side of our street heading west.
Despite the progress, Walter acknowledges the city's inhabitants are still undergoing the process of recovery.
Sure, we are, and all you have to do is drive down Main Street and see the holes. You know, we, being raised here and remembering the day of walking down Main Street and the different department stores and a pharmacy and a grocery and a 5 and 10 store, those days are gone. And of course, you know, if you live in nostalgia and want to go back, you would long for those things. We're no different than any small town that has lost the downtown appeal.
And because of that, Walter says they're trying to attract new business downtown.
We're doing a grant that is providing a database for letting people know that this is what we have. We have some property that might be for lease, sale, or rent, to where if we want to entice a business to come into our community, we'll have a database. And this is the size of our town. This is what we have. This is what we need. And maybe the next step would be seeing if there's grant money that the city could take the first step in developing some more businesses into the city.
Aside from economic recovery, Walter says the city is also making progress reclaiming its number of private residents, many of whom moved away from town after their homes were destroyed.
We also were lucky enough to have the rebuilding of a 48-unit apartment complex. We had several Habitat homes built within city limits, so we were able to gain some of our residences back.
Walter says those people who live in West Liberty have proven themselves proud and resilient since the 2012 tornado, but he's most proud of the way they've come together.
We work together and we take pride in our whole community, and I have been mayor a little over 4 years, but the first thing that I introduced to the employees of West Liberty is Team West Liberty. And one person, a mayor, a judge, even the governor of Kentucky, doesn't get things done without a team. And I believe that this has all been a team effort.
As one of the many Kentuckians rooting for that team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
It's 4:48 and 39 degrees in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sean Delaney, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Things are shaping up. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. While happy with yesterday's win, Moorhead State coach Preston Spradlin says his young players got another education on what it takes to be a good Division I basketball team. The Eagles got off to a slow start before getting on a roll in the second half to rout Kentucky Christian 85-57. Spradlin says MSU got on the right track by cranking up its focus and intensity.
That's kind of just where we're at with our guys, that we're learning that you just got to play hard all the time. We've really ramped it up a little bit in practice here this past week that we've had with finals and no games, and so they've been really good. However, that's just not who we are just yet, that playing hard all the time from the jump, and so we're getting better at it, and then I think we learned a valuable lesson.
The Eagles shot 56% from the field in the win. Now at 3-6, they'll host Central Arkansas on Sunday. The Moorhead State women's team travels to New York this weekend to take on Kinesis on Saturday. Coach Greg Todd says with the fall semester at MSU now over, the next month will be very valuable for his team.
A little bit of time off and then come back in, get ready for conference. But there is more time this year with Thursday, Saturdays. We'll be able to bring them in on Monday morning and and get ready for a Thursday game. There'll be three quality practices there until we get into classes there in the middle of January.
MSU is 7-3 this season. The Round County girls basketball team is preparing for Friday's battle with Sheldon Clark. The Lady Vikings will go into the game riding high from Monday's 63-41 win over Greenup County. Head coach Ed Jones says while his team is averaging 56 points per game so far this season, good for 6th in the 16th region, he would like to see them take better shots.
What we are settling for right now is for taking the three-pointer, and it's not that we don't want them to shoot the ball. It's not that at all. We feel like we've got three or four girls that can knock down the three. But what we're doing is we're taking the three after one pass or two passes. And we can get that three-pointer wide open after 10 passes. So the bottom line is we're taking the three-pointer way too quick in our offense. We need to be more patient.
Round is 3-2 on the year, while Sheldon Clark is 1-4. Meanwhile, for the Round boys, they fell 66-61 to Menifee County last night. They battle Powell County on Saturday. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier sent his players home last weekend with a little Christmas present. He says each of them were given packets containing drill work that will help them get stronger and in better shape over the next 4 weeks.
They go home and work out 4 weeks and come back, and looking forward to a tremendous offseason. I think this is we've got the making of our best leadership group here since I've been here as the head coach. I think we've got some juniors and seniors that are really bought into our program, and I'm excited about that.
Tenier says he'll have the Eagles hitting the weight room hard when they return to campus next month. While the Kentucky football team is preparing for its upcoming Music City Bowl game against number 21 Northwestern, Coach Mark Stoops says he and his staff are finalizing the Wildcats' 2018 recruiting class. Stoops thinks UK has a lot of, quote, really good players interested in joining the Big Blue.
I know this. It won't be hard for us to fill our spots, that's for sure. We got to be very smart with how we finish off the class, because I think it's very critical when you get into the last two or three spots, but it won't be difficult. It'll be difficult making decisions and deciding which way we go.
College football's national signing day is February the 7th. The UK program has picked up a few verbal commitments over the past couple of days, the biggest being dual-threat quarterback Terry Wilson. The JUCO QB is ranked as the second-best player in his position in his class. Wilson, a former Oregon commit, picked Kentucky over Florida, Ole Miss, and Nebraska. He is expected to compete for the starting job next season as the Cats look to replace senior starter Steven Johnson. Also, three-star offensive tackle Kenneth Horsey picked Kentucky over Central Florida, Mississippi State, and Missouri. And defensive lineman Jarquavion Mahone committed to Kentucky over Tennessee late last night. With the latest pledges, Kentucky's 2018 recruiting class is ranked as the 23rd best in the country, according to Scout.com. Bengals coach Marvin Lewis insists that Cincinnati was well-prepared to face Chicago last Sunday, but says his team just didn't execute during its 33-7 loss to the Bears. Lewis also insists the defeat didn't include a lack of effort on the part of his players.
It's not as though it's a lack of trying to do it right. I mean, it's just do it right within the confines of what you're asked to do, you know. And you don't have to go over and above and put us in jeopardy of getting a foul in any way. And then same thing with the conversions on third down offensively, keeping them and staying true to the defense on defense.
Things won't get any easier for the 5-8 Bengals when they visit the NFC North leading Minnesota on Sunday. The Cincinnati Reds have still yet to make a deal at baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. According to general manager Dick Williams, the Reds are attempting to, quote, fly under the radar when compared to their competition.
We've got a really young roster right now. We did a lot over the last couple of years to bring the age down on the roster. Got a lot of young guys, a lot of options. And I don't think we'll be too crazy this winter. It's all about bringing these guys along and developing them. We've been in the middle of a rebuild for the last couple of years, and you got to stick to that plan.
Meanwhile, rumors persist that the Reds are trying to trade center fielder Billy Hamilton to San Francisco while also looking to add help to its pitching staff. And finally in sports, the disbandment of the Miami Marlins roster continues as the team has traded all-star left fielder Marcell Ozuna to the St. Louis Cardinals, pending a physical. It's unclear what the Marlins are getting in return, but right-handed pitching prospect Sandy Alcantara will be included in the deal, according to multiple reports. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Central Arkansas at 2 p.m. on Sunday. OBC action begins on Thursday, January 4th, with both men and women in action hosting Eastern Illinois. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average posted another record close after the Federal Reserve felt confident enough in the economy to raise rates yet again. Investors also digested news of congressional leaders reaching a tentative agreement on a tax overhaul plan. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 80.63 at 24,585.43. The broader market not as strong as the blue chip average. The S&P 500 actually was down 1.26 at 2662.85, and the NASDAQ Composite finished with a gain of 13.48 at 6875.80. The S&P closing just below break even as weakness in the financial sector, with those stocks being down over 1%, offset gains in industrials and healthcare. The index did post an intraday all-time high earlier in the session. The move by the Federal Reserve to increase the Fed funds rate by 0.25% lifts the target range to 1.25% to 1.5%. The Fed was widely expected to raise rates at this meeting, and the central bank also raised its 2018 GDP estimate to 2.5% from 2.1% in September. The Consumer Price Index, a key metric used to gauge inflation, rose 0.4% last month, and this was as expected. Members of the Fed's policymaking committee kept their interest rate forecasts unchanged for 2018 and 2019, and Treasury yields actually went lower and bond prices went up following the Fed's announcement. The benchmark 10-year yield traded at 2.35%, while the 2-year yield slipped to 1.78%. Wall Street, as mentioned, looked to Congress as House and Senate leaders struck a tentative deal to pass sweeping changes to the U.S. tax code. This plan would likely lower the corporate tax rate. Verizon and AT&T both closed lower today after T-Mobile announced it bought Layer 3 TV and said it plans to launch a disruptive new TV service. T-Mobile shares finished 0.6% higher. Caterpillar stock climbed 3.6% after the company reported strong machine sales for September, October, and November. And Finisar shares surged almost 23% after Apple awarded it $390 million. Finisar makes optical communications components, which are used in Apple's iPhone X. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.75% at $56.71. Gold was up 1.3% at $1,257.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down as the Stoxx 600 index was down 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were strong with the Shanghai index up 0.7% and the Hang Seng index up 1.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Nike. The worst performers were IBM and American Express. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CenturyLink and Mattel. And the worst performers were Archer Daniels Midland and 21st Century Fox. Turning to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down a penny at 71.02, CSX up 71 cents at 57.69, AEP up 49 cents at 76.51, AK Steel up 6 cents at 5.39, Marathon Petroleum down 35 cents at 64.14, and U.S. Bancorp down 90 cents, finishing at 54.60. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Moorhead Conference Center. The City of Moorhead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov. The City of Moorhead wishes you a joyous holiday season with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And taking one final look at the weather forecast in the WMKY listening area. Slight chance of rain and snow showers tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, low of around 26 degrees. Chance of precipitation at 10%. And coming up on Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 34 degrees, low of around 22. Currently 37 degrees in Ashland, 41 degrees in Winchester, 39 degrees in Inez, 38 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's 39 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Ellen Barnett, Chaz Jenkins, Jacob Lindberg, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James chipped in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Arlo Barnett. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.